All right, welcome back, everyone. We are here for another Shut Up and Dribble episode. As you know, my name is Matt Wang, one of the hosts, and we have the very talented Jeffrey Lin with me.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. This is Jeffrey Lin, one of the other co-hosts for Shut Up and Dribble. I'm riding high right now as Atlanta, you know, has a 3-1 lead over the New York Knicks. And, you know, even after all the national media and the NBA really pushed for the Knicks, you know, to boost those ratings that we talked about, Atlanta has shown them that. It has shown Spike Lee as well. You know, Atlanta is, you know, we're here to stay, and we don't care about your national narratives.
Spike Lee, man, he looks like a kid. Like, he did look like a kid in the candy store for that one game that they won. But yeah, I guess there's a bit more of a somber mood in MSG right now.
yeah.
Well, we have a really special, kind of a fun episode, I guess, for you guys today. Jeff and I go back and forth. We just sort of as people that really appreciate the game, we love discussing everything about basketball. And we thought it would be really interesting to just talk about the top five, each of our top five most hated players in the league. Like, everyone loves to, people love to hate on other people. I'm sorry. And like, for every great player out there in the league, there's a player that's not so great. And I think Jeff and I have come up with our own respective lists of who we absolutely despise, the top five players we just cringe every time they put on the jersey and get out there, and we just thought it'd be a really fun one to talk about today.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to kind of see your criteria a little bit for like the people you players you hate the most. So just to give you a sense of what I did for this, I really focus on the players' games, you know, I guess, like, how they play. Like, it was a common, you know, a little bit less on, like, the personality side and all of that, because I feel like that, you know, that doesn't matter. What I want to see, you have a terrible personality and play great, and that's, well, to limits, right? Like, right, I had to, like, bounce in summers, kind of, like, you know, it was when, like, Michael Porter Jr., I think, was someone I considered, because he's I feel like he is maybe not the best for, you know, he's like anti-vaxxer and everything. Oh, like, gosh. That I can't agree with that,
Jeff.
So
I feel like this your lens at which you view basketball is so stats focused and so, like, geared towards your fantasy league that I don't know, because I'm very much my criteria of the framework that I use was a lot more about the personalities. Like, I appreciate good sportsmanship, and players that I think exhibit bad sportsmanship are players that I just can't stand. And so, I don't know, I guess we have two very different perspectives of how we attack this question. But why don't you start us off? Let's go from our fifth rank to our first rank, right? So your fifth ranked least hated player, Jeff. Who is he?
Okay, so my fifth player, kind of like I was saying, I was really focused on that balance between game and personality. It might be, I feel like this guy is higher on some people's list, but my fifth player is Draymond Green. And really, I think this is where just the personality, this, like, very, like, grating, you know, jawing at the officials after everything, and just like this guy who, I think he it feels like he still has that chip on his shoulder, right? I think famously he can name all the people who were drafted in front of him in a draft, which is, like, great, right? I think you need that fire and that energy to get to where you are today. But I mean, at some point, I think you just have to realize that you're fine, right? You're good.
Yeah.
You've made it. And you don't need to be that way. I think there's that. And I think just the game, like, defensively, I still think Draymond Green is great. But offensively, he's kind of a bigger Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, his offensive
all he does is
really
falling
off.
No, right. He can't move, like, score. All his best offensive skill is just passing. You know, he's looking to pass. He doesn't even drive and can't, like, finish at the rim well anymore. And I think that deterioration of his game has really negatively affected the Warriors and really changed what they can do. Because I think, and you know, before you could probably get away with him as your worst shooter, but now now he's such a zero offensively. You know, I don't know if kind of like Wade, he really can't. You know, he can only really coexist with someone like Steph Curry because he's not gonna shoot the ball. So I think that's what he's number five, right? That, you know, that personality and you know, lack of game, I think. Or just maybe not lack of game, just I don't really like watching him play offensively anymore.
What do you think the future is for the Warriors though? I mean, you think Klay's gonna come back at 100%? Do you think that, I mean, as you know, as you said, that Draymond definitely isn't sort of 2016 or 2016 version of himself. Like, what do you think the future of the Warriors is?
That's going to be tough, right? I think it's really going to depend on who is like the next like superstar available in trade.
Kawhi.
And I really Kawhi. Yeah, I guess we'll see tonight, right? We will definitely see, right? And if you know the Warriors are able to pick up someone like that. And if they're willing to, you know, give up their draft capital in James Wiseman for another superstar, then I think they should do, then, you know, they'll be able to compete for the next two or three years. Because I think Steph Curry showed that he's still at a top five player level, at least.
Yeah.
And he was an offense onto himself this year. So I don't think, you know, they're kind of straddling this line. And they did this with Wiseman throughout the year, of developing a player, but also trying to win a championship. And at some point, they're going to have to cross one of those lines. Mm-hmm. And I think James Wiseman, the Minnesota pick, are going to be, you know, two like very like large like trade chips that the Warriors have in their purse to go and make a big move. And unfortunately, I think with Wiseman playing as poorly as he did this year and then injuring himself, There's a question of whether he even is actually that valuable moving.
I mean, it is interesting. They're in a very interesting spot. But you're right. I mean, I don't think they are well positioned for some sort of movement in the future. They definitely have options, unlike, let's say, like the Clippers or whatever, which have just totally depleted their trade capital, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, like everything is riding on their performance, like in the next few days here. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see. But I do think that Kawhi, I don't know, just like he's a California boy. San Francisco's what, like an hour away from LA. You pair him up with Steph. You pair him up with Klay when he comes back. Again, I don't know if Klay's really going to be at 100%. I mean, ACL injuries. It was ACL, right? Like he tore his ACL.
It was his ACL, and then he tore his Achilles.
Right. I mean, those are two catastrophic injuries for
him. Right. Like he's not going to be 100% coming back, and he's going to take at least a year to kind of get to even to be healthy. And it's going to be tough with Klay. Like he's probably going to start playing like 20 minutes per night, like sitting like back to backs and everything. So, and that's if he's ready to go at the beginning of the season. So.
I mean, and then who else do they have? It's like Andrew Wiggins, like, please.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think there's been, you know, it's always been interesting to me for Steph, because I guess there's this idea that if you have Steph out there and maybe Klay, that you don't have to put too much shooting because you have like two of the greatest shooters ever in your backcourt. And I think that's really, you see it this year especially, that the Warriors really loaded up on like defense first players, or, you know, kind of like long wings who could really play and defend, but really couldn't shoot very well. And that's, I think the league has caught on to how to defend Steph Curry to a certain extent. And they know that, you know, if they just focus on him, then that can really, that will derail the Warriors offense. And then, you know, along with the decline of Draymond Green, they know that Steph Curry is the only threat out there for the Warriors. Right. So, you know, yeah. And then development of some other players, such like Jordan Poole, I think is important for the Warriors. But really, it's about, like, are they willing to package their trade assets for some sort of star? And Kawhi, you know, might be available. They don't have the cap space to sign him because he'll be a free agent after the season. But, you know, like you said, some sort of sign-in trade, where they trade some of their assets to make some, you know, get to get Kawhi on the team. That could be something, especially if, you know, Kawhi is going to leave anyways, then the Clippers would be happy to get any sort of asset for Kawhi.
That's the million-dollar question. I really wonder, you know, I mean, if Kawhi leaves, he would be hated by his hometown. Like, I don't know. I mean, well, I don't know if that really matters to him.
I don't know about that. Yeah. But, I don't know if he'd be hated because I don't know how much LA
cares like the Clippers.
Right. Yeah. Right, and especially I think, you know, his legacy would certainly be, you know, tarnished a little. I don't know, the Clippers just seem cursed too, man, right? Like, come on, like how many times can you, like, you know, like, mess up that badly?
Yeah, I guess so. All right, okay, I'll give you my
all right, give me your number five. Yeah, give me your number five.
Dwight Howard.
Okay,
Dwight Howard.
That's right. Yeah,
and again, keeping with sort of this this, you know, unsportsmanlike framework, I just think he's a dirty player. You know, I mean, he's been around the league for a long time at this point, and all he is now is really just like this big body enforcer. Like, I feel like he's just out there to just like bruise people and like really just try to like injure the opposing team's players. Like, he really doesn't offer that much anymore. He's a big body. He just sits there and he fouls and he plays dirty. Like, I just don't like him. And, you know, I've heard that around the league, he's not very well liked by his own teammates. Like, I don't know if you've heard, but like, I think a lot of players just didn't feel very comfortable playing around him when they were on when he was their teammate. So
yeah, no, I've heard he makes a lot of like potty jokes. Yeah, like that's his thing.
I can't say he's like really immature. Like, they just say he's like weird. And then, you know, he's never really been like a very good, like he's always been like, I feel like a very selfish sort of self-centered player. You know, I think you can kind of see that in his post-game interviews that he did like earlier on in his career when people actually like cared about what he did. But like, you know, I just don't think that he's really that great of a player. One, two, I think he was like really overrated even during his best years. And now I just feel like he's just like this dirty enforcer. You know, in hockey, they have this term for like, for this profile of player, right? They call it an enforcer, you know, someone who just kind of goes out there and just
beats
people up, yeah, and like plays dirty and tries to like injure the ever best team's player.
Charles Oakley did that.
There you go. Yeah. He was like enforcer. Yeah. So, I definitely think that the league would be better off if he had just retires and leaves.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I never know. Dwight is an interesting case for like a Hall of Fame, I think, analysis. Mm-hmm. Right. I think by every metric in award, I think he probably deserves to be in it. You know, 3-time defensive player of the year. I think multiple time all NBA first team, really want like the premier center between 2000, like the 2005 and like 2010, or, you know, like he was like the premier center. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's probably a horrible human being, right? Just like weird. So I think when he was on Atlanta or Houston, where one of the players, so he would like spray this thing called like stick'em and like make his hands like stickier so he could catch the ball like better. And that was a story. Like he does that. And then just to note, he apparently had some sort of like crippling sugar addiction, and the Lakers helped him like work it out. Like, it was so bad that if he didn't like have like a bunch of Skittles, then he would tremble. And he would shake.
Jesus.
So when the Lakers, Lakers found out about this, like, no, you can't. This can't happen.
That's weird. That's right? Very weird.
Yeah. So he's a weird guy. I think. Yeah. I think he's like mellowed out a little bit, and he's gone to the point where he was an effective player for the Lakers, and I guess to some extent for the Sixers. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. I don't enjoy watching him play that much there anymore. So. Understand, yeah, I think definitely a candidate, someone I didn't even think about because he's not.
It's not a, you know, factor. At the
height. Yeah.
All right. Who's your number four?
So my number four is Mason Plumlee.
Mason Plumlee. That okay? Mm-hmm. Well, please take it away. That one I didn't expect.
So I think he is. I don't know about Mason Plumlee as a person, but I do know enough about him as a player, and he's just not. I mean, like he'll like try to like post up a little bit, right? And he can like pass a little bit, but it's just not. He's just not an effective player, I think. Like just not. Like I just don't. I don't like watching his like post ups. Like he's not like particularly skilled in that area. I mean, I think the Nuggets try to use him as like a Jokic replacement. Where they can like kind of play the same way when Jokic is off the floor and the cutting and the passing and the handoffs, but I'm just like, no, I don't get like why teams think he's this good. Right? Like I don't understand how he was able to get a 4-year $32 million contract from the Detroit Pistons. And I just I don't like watching him play. And I guess what I don't also don't understand is that he was always a defensive replacement for Nikola Jokic, which made no sense to me because I don't think he's that much. It's questionable at best that he's better than Jokic at defense. Like
Yeah, I'd agree.
you're probably about the same,
Yeah.
right? I'm just like, yeah, I just don't like, I don't like watching this game like at all.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really, I don't know, I can't really say I paid much attention to Mason Plumlee when he's on the floor. I haven't watched any like Pistons games this year, but it is interesting that he ended up getting that big of a contract with the Pistons. But the Pistons are like pretty desperate and they tend to pick up a lot of like just crappy players.
They did, yeah. For some reason, they loaded up on centers this year, right? They got what happened. They got Mason Plumlee. They re-signed Jahlil
Jahlil Okafor is
Okafor.
over there. Oh God.
Yeah, he's there. I think they drafted a center. They drafted Isaiah Stewart, who's playing very well. Who played like pretty well this year is also on my fantasy team. So shout out Isaiah Stewart. Yeah, I think they were actually the league made fun of them for. Oh, by league, I mean NBA Twitter. It made fun of them for deciding like so many centers, and when they let their best center walk, which is a like Christian Wood, and he's been playing pretty well in Houston. So I don't know. This is a weird, but I mean, hey, it might
They're
work
trying to
out for
follow
the Pistons.
the front court stacking of the Knicks, just hoping that the same strategy works.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, like the
It
Knicks
worked, yeah. If it
famously
worked for the
just like
Knicks with
yeah.
like how many power forwards do they have?
Right, yeah, no, right, and they're probably looking at themselves right now, and be like, yeah, it was a good idea. Yeah, I think we did okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Mason Plumlee, I think that. Again, I can't really say that like I've ever paid much attention to Mason Plumlee when he's played. I think he's a solid like he's okay. He's not like someone I'm like, wow, like you really did a lot of great like he's good on defense. I don't think I've ever seen him like really do much of or be much of a factor on offense. But yeah, okay. Mason Plumlee, number four. All right. My number four, Patrick Beverley.
Oh,
Just
okay.
again,
Let me hear about
keeping
this. Yeah.
keeping again with this whole like sportsman's, I just think he's a dirty player. I think that he's like massively I just think he's like a pest, you know? I really just think that he's out there. Like people will say, oh, he plays such tenacious defense. Like I guess you could say that, but he's just like he just does all these little things to try and yeah, just these dirty unsportsmanlike plays to try and get his team like an edge. I don't think that really is really keeping in the spirit of basketball or good sportsmanship. And I think he's just like I don't know. I think that the Clippers I don't understand why they didn't trade Patrick Beverley or for Rondo instead of Lou Williams. Like maybe you have some insight there, but like Lou Williams was like one of their better offensive point guard type of players. And you keep Patrick Beverley, but you get rid of Lou, like sweet Lou, like 3-point Lou, like what? I don't know. But yeah, Patrick Beverley, terrible player in terms of unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think actually Patrick Beverley was going to be next on my list
Okay.
as well. I think for similar reasons, right? I think he really might be kind of like one of those players who kind of like the marriage of the like horrible like personality and also I think now is very overrated, right? I think people low-key like very injury prone, right? He missed a lot of this season. And I think just not as like good defensively as he used to be. I think that was his big calling card, like being able to be a 3-and-D guard who could, you know, defend the 1, the 2, even sometimes the 3 at times, and be able to shoot the 3. But no, he's not been very good this year, and he's just not been available. I think that's such a big thing, like being available there. And I think to your point about whether or not the Clippers made the right decision to trade him instead of Lou Williams for Rondo, I think that was probably more of Lou Williams. He had just so many like defensive, like he was such a defensive liability, and they had enough scoring with, you know, Kawhi and Paul George, but they didn't have that passing element that Rondo provided. So I think that's probably it. And there's probably some like hope there that the best configuration for the Clippers is to have like Patrick Beverley in the lineup. But I think, you know, whether it's injury or something else, or, you know, maybe he's just cooked now, like he's kind of a liability out there right now for the Clippers, you know, against, you know, especially if it's against Luka, he has like no chance. I mean, you know, to some extent, like very few people have a chance against Luka, but he just hasn't like been playing as well. I think he's been overrated. He's a big talker. He's like, you know, I think, what was it? He, you know, when the Clippers got Kawhi and Paul George, I think he famously like said to Steph Curry during a game, like, you had the last 5 years, the next 5 years are like ours. This is clearly not happening. I think Beverly to me is kind of this player when he's like the underdog, right? He becomes like fun to like root for. And I think he is more, he's more like endearing that way. But now when he's like, when the expectations are on him, I guess he's not. I guess he just doesn't rise to the occasion or something. Yeah, I don't know. Right. And then, yeah, he does kind of like, he's had this reputation as a dirty player. I think he famously, when he was guarding Westbrook, I think during a playoff game, Westbrook got injured and he wasn't able to like play in the playoffs. He was out for the playoffs. I think that was on the Patrick Beverley play. And I think he's also one of the bigger floppers in the NBA. Yeah. And then I think maybe the key thing for me is that he took over Jeremy Lin's starting spot when he was on the Rockets. Right. And I think I just can never forgive him for that. I mean, I think it was more like, I don't think he was a better player than Jeremy. I think he just fit better with Harden because, you know, Beverly didn't need the ball and it could just defend and shoot threes and let Harden handle everything. But I don't know. I can't forget my disappointment when I learned that Jeremy Lin was not starting anymore.
All right. I agree with everything you said there. I think that's a good analysis. Is he your number four, or do you have someone else for number four?
He's my number three. So right now it's Draymond Green, number five.
Who's your number four?
Mason Plumlee. Mason Plumlee is my number four.
And Pat Beverly is your number three. Okay. All right. Who's your number two?
Oh, should we go by? Number three?
Oh, my number three. Oh yeah, well, okay, my number three is Marcus Smart.
Okay,
keeping with like I think that Patrick Beverley and Marcus Smart are very similar players. Okay, there's a few layers to this. All right, because a lot of people will be like, oh my God, Marcus Smart, you know, great player for the Celtics, heart and soul of the Celtics, so tenacious on defense. You know, he's really gotten his 3-point. I mean, he's a bit of a streaky shooter. He's definitely gotten a bit better, I think, over the past few seasons. So on one level for me, again, Toronto sports fans, like, this is not really a basketball rivalry per se, but I think, like, if you're born in Toronto, like, you just have to hate Boston, like all Boston sports teams. And I think that started in hockey between, like, you know, the Bruins and the Leafs. But, you know, just as someone that's from Toronto, I just automatically do not like Boston. And Marcus Smart is, like, as sort of, like, I'd say the most tenured player, but also, like, sort of the most, I don't know, central player to the Boston Celtics at this point. Like, I just feel predisposed to hate him. And then you have like all the other stuff that he does, like his like terrible flopping. I mean, well, not terrible. I guess he's a good flopper, but just the fact that he does it like way too often, just all his dirty plays, just the fact that he's, you know, he's always like jawing at other players. Like, he's just like not a nice, he doesn't seem like a person you want to invite to like a house party. You know, he just seems like a very obnoxious person. And, you know, as someone that just doesn't like, I guess sort of the profile of the Boston sports fan, like I feel like Marcus Smart embodies like that sort of like obnoxious, loud, like mass hole type of like personality, which just makes me hate him so much more. So, he's my number three. And that's what I'm going with.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I think he's definitely probably on a bunch of people's list. I think Marcus Smart, I just, you probably hate me for this, but I just like really like his game a lot. So, right, like, you know, one of the best defenders in the NBA, just a ball hawk, you know, really good help, really great help defender as well. Just kind of like, you know, working the passing lanes and, you know, providing some help at the, you know, at the nail. Also, he's improved offensively a little bit. He might be the team's best passer, honestly, at this point. So I just, funnily enough, I'm probably one of those people who really preaches his game, and all the other stuff like the flopping and that kind of stuff is probably not annoying enough to me. It's annoying for sure, but I guess part of me is also like, you know, like you're really just sacrificing your body to win.
Yeah, I mean, this like number three spot is like a begrudging sort of like hate towards him, because I do recognize like he is a very talented defender. Yeah, I mean, you could say he's a good player, but just like, I don't know, just I can't get over just how he just embodies this like just obnoxious like I don't know, he just I really just feel like I would not want it. Like, I guess my test is like, you know, would I like to have this person over for a party? And I just wouldn't want to have Smart over at my house.
That's true. No, I could feel that. Wait, but tell me, this is interesting to me. Wait, I didn't know that Toronto and Boston had such a fabled sports rivalry. Could you please tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like just, I'm not actually sure with sort of the history in hockey, but like, you know, just there is one of these like sort of rivalries between Toronto and Boston in general. I mean, we're both kind of like cold cities, you know, in hockey, they were part of the original six teams. And so I guess like from there, they just a rivalry developed. I feel like over the past few years in basketball, just with the Raptors in the East, like I do think that somewhat of a rivalry has sort of arisen as between Toronto and Boston, the Raptors and the Celtics. I don't know if Boston the Celtics themselves would consider Toronto a division rival, but I do feel like when they do play each other, like there's a lot greater sort of an intensity between the two teams when they do play. And I think it's just, you know, like over the past few years, like the Celtics and the Raptors have met each other a lot in the playoffs, or not necessarily in the playoffs, but just, you know, in the regular season, it's just two top teams in the East. And so a bit of a sort of a budding rivalry has developed there. I don't know. Like, I feel like if you're on the East Coast, like you're just sort of also predisposed, like wherever you're from, like New York, Philly, DC, like you're just predisposed to hate like people from like sports fans from Boston. I mean, whether that's you know, in football or, or in hockey or in basketball.
Oh man, yeah. Being from Georgia and being a Falcons fan,
You know, I will say this actually. This is every day. This is a really strange thing about Toronto because you know we don't have an NFL team, and so a lot of Canadians actually will just sort of be bandwagoners to whatever the best, I guess, you know, football team is, which, you know, for the past few years or decade, I guess, has really been the Patriots. So you do have this like weird group of I don't know where the hell they get it, but I just don't think that they're really sort of keeping to the tradition of like hating Boston from Toronto.
Okay, so you're the flag bearer for Boston and Toronto. Yeah. Okay, do you think there's anything about, I guess, kind of like Boston is, I guess some would say, the birthplace of the American Revolution.
It goes back even further, I guess.
Yeah. Right? Like, you know, this can't ever be like, oh man, we could have been first.
No, we're too nice, man. No, we wanted to stay. We wanted to be separate from the British, civilly. We didn't want to create a revolution, and dump all of our tea into the bay.
I see. Yeah, I kind of think about the ecological disaster that happened after the Boston Tea Party. It makes me wonder a little
All
bit.
right, number two. Who's your number two?
Number two. So my number two might be a little surprising, but it's DeAndre
Interesting. Wow. Okay, you're gonna have to break this down.
I think
Just
that.
break this down for me. What like yeah.
So I think a little bit in the vein of Mason Plumlee. In the sense that it's not really as like a person. I don't hate him as a person. I don't hate any of these people, I guess. I just like it's more about his game, I think. And you know, I wavered a little bit because I think in the playoffs he's this year he's actually shown that he's really adjusted this game. But you know, just focusing on the regular season, I think he is, you know, he's like a 7-foot-1 guy, like super athletic, you know, came into the league as like this big bodied, you know, center. Number one pick in the draft over Luka Doncic, which was a mistake. But, you know, just looking at that, I think he's just kind of underwhelming. I think he's really, I mean, he's improved, but I think his, you know, his first year he's been underwhelming as a defensive player. It really took him a while to kind of like understand and get the ropes on. And he's improved greatly. I'll give him that. But I think offensively, I think he's what bothers me the most about him is that he's a center, that he has kind of like this post game, but he doesn't really like fully use it, right? He likes like working in the mid range a little bit and taking like those kinds of jump shots when I really feel like he should be going in and like finishing at the rim. I think that's really borne out in kind of like the stats. He only averages about two and a half free throw attempts per game. So that's, you know, that's like one trip. That's like one trip per game, or like 1.5 trips per game, which is, I think, totally ridiculous for being like a center of his size. And he takes a lot of his shots kind of like in that in between that mid-range area or just like outside of the rim. Like I think this year he took about 14% of his shots between that 10-foot and 16-feet like range, which, you know, like mid range, and took about 26 shots between 3 and 10 feet away from the rim. And I don't know, I just think he should be using his physical talents on offense a lot better. I think that frustrates me when I feel like, you know, a player isn't, you know, really taking advantage of his abilities as he should. So you know, it's more like I'll watch him play. I'll be like, oh, like, why are you like picking and popping? Like, that's not your game. Like, you know, I'm sure like it's important for him to like expand his range and everything, but like get to the rim and like finish there and do that because that's what you're good at, and that's why you're
I mean, he's
drafted.
still pretty young, though, right? Like, this is what, his third season in the league at this point? Three?
Yeah, that's true, right? No, definitely saying like he has room for improvement, right? And I think he, like I said, like in the playoffs, he's shown that. I think he's really, you know, being able to like finish and really working the rim and offensive rebounding and doing all those things. And yeah, no, he's improved. And I think part of this is also like not his fault because I always think of him as like, oh wow, like, you know, Luka, I see that draft and I can probably pick, you know, three or four players over him, right? Like it's like Trae Young, Luka Doncic, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander are all like better players than he is. And you know, part of it's probably unfair. Like I like view him in the lens of that. But yeah, no, he can definitely get better. I just like draw, like take some contact, be a big man, do
Yeah, I mean,
that.
I don't know. I feel like he still has a lot of runway to develop those skills. Especially now that like the Suns, I think, are a lot more of a competitive team. Like he's definitely sort of experiencing a lot more sort of different scenarios where you can kind of like learn more things. It'll be interesting, you know, to see how he does develop. But I will say though, like as a first round pick, like for him not to really be a bust, because I feel like what the last few first or first sorry number one picks have all been kind of busts. Like for him to sort of buck that trend, I think is pretty good.
Well, I think I don't know if a lot of them have been, I think a lot of them have turned out not to be the best player in the draft, probably, is what's happening. I think, well, let's think about it. So past year, Anthony Edwards, number one pick, he's not the best player. I think it was LaMelo, but there's still some time there. And I think he came around the later part of the season. Let's see, before that, oh man, I'm drawing.
Let me pull this up. I'm drawing a blank. 2020 draft.
Yeah, so 2020, you know, that was Anthony Edwards, LaMelo. 2019 with Zion.
Okay, well, Zion yeah.
And, yeah, it's a, 2018 was Aiden. 2017,
who was?
2017.
Fultz, yeah, there you go.
Okay, yeah. All right, now we're getting there.
2016. Well, Ben Simmons. Wow, Ben Simmons was drafted in 2016.
It's been a while.
Feels like he's
right?
been there a lot longer than that, but okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2015, who was it? Cat. Okay, well, Cat's turned out
okay. Yeah, he's okay. He's not. Yeah.
2014, Andrew Wiggins. There you go. There's another kind of bust.
There you go, yeah. And I think 2013 was Anthony Bennett.
Another Canadian, yeah.
If I remember correctly. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Olympics are coming up. Is he going to play for Team Canada?
Yeah. Okay. Well. Okay. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've just been skewed towards all the Canadian first round draft picks. My perspective is a bit. I don't know. Sort of is focused on those players instead.
Hey, but Anthony Edwards? No, he's not Canadian. RJ Barrett.
Yeah, I was
going to
say RJ Barrett. Like RJ Barrett hasn't been great, right? Like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't watched too many Knicks games this year, but like I was just, you know, just watching this playoff series. It doesn't seem like he's really been that. I mean, you still want to give him some runway because he's like, you know, still a pretty young player, but like.
Yeah, he's a second year. He's
yeah,
a
but
sophomore.
Just, like, I don't know. I just don't think that he really is that dynamic. He's not like, you know, performing at like at a high level like a LaMelo or a Zion. So
yeah, no, that's true. RJ Barrett was actually another player I thought about whether or not he should be on this list. I think, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this list. I think, you know, some of the players, like Aiden was on there, I think, because he's so gifted and he doesn't use those gifts. And I think RJ Barrett, I just look at him like, oh, I just never thought he was that good. So he just happens to not be good. Like, oh, you know, he's, you know, it's not frustrating to watch because this is what I expect.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Who is... Okay, so it's me now, right? Let's see.
Yeah.
Who do I have next? This is number two. Mm-hmm. I have... Oh, you're going to hate me. Trae Young.
Oh, my God. All right. Why? Is it the foul drawing?
It's the foul drawing.
Is it just
because
he's good at...
yeah,
is
I mean,
he good at? Is he good at putting the ball in the basket in all the ways you're allowed to put the ball in the basket in the NBA?
I mean... I guess I'm kind of like skewing my criticism towards like just his conduct during this playoff series.
He's been great. I mean, okay,
but just like, you know, just like just
okay,
how,
go ahead, go
how
ahead, sorry,
loud
sorry.
And just like, you know, just like jawing all the time at the refs, jawing at everybody. Like I feel like he just gets out there and he has this inflated sense of himself. I mean, you know, and he's like. I don't know. He's just like this little pips. Like his hair is too like weird. Like he has weird hair. Like I don't know. Like I just don't like him. I just think he's not a great player. Well, I mean, I don't know if I can say that. Yeah. Okay. Maybe he's.
I don't
he's,
think you can say that. Either.
Maybe he is good, and I hate him for that. But like honestly, I'm not a fan of. And it's just like his like when he gets out there like he's. I don't know. I just don't like him.
It's interesting for okay, so obviously I have a lot of them. First of all, I can understand. I don't know. Okay, like that's like, you know, isn't that fun? Isn't that part of sports? Isn't that the old school way of being like, yeah, like I'm not going to take any shit out here. Like, you know, I'm going to, you know, trash talk and do all that,
yeah,
and
like
then,
you
know, public
feet, crowd. Like that's like
he is 6'1". Should that be
six
endearing
foot one.
Too? Yeah. I should like, you know, he's as tall as me, right? And you know he. Which is not tall for NBA player, but it should that be endearing too. Like you can be small too and ball out like Trae Young can. That could be you. You're not that far away.
The only guy, the only short like point guard that I really respect is Allen Iverson.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. I just don't like him. Yeah, okay, maybe it is. He's good. Like yeah, he's good. Okay, fine, I'll admit it. Like he's good. You know, like he'll pull up from the logo, drop bombs. Like he's a good passer. Like you know, he really. I mean, the Hawks. He's the center of the Hawks offense. Like, but I don't know. Like I just don't like him.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I think the league has wavered back and forth on him. Almost like in his second year, I think there was a lot of love and adoration of Trae Young. And then maybe it got to the point a little bit where he was overrated, maybe slightly. Just because I think a big thing was like, oh, he was a starter for the All-Star game. And people see starters for the All-Star game in a different light than like...
That's a good point too. You know, I thought there were a lot more deserving people that should have been in the spot than should have replaced him in the game.
Which, you know, it can be fair, right? I think even at the time, there were probably better guards than him. But you also have to look at it. It's not the fans' vote that counted, right? It's not that... It's not like he chose to be an All-Star starter.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right? It's the fan vote, right? And then, like, this year, like, he didn't even make the All-Star team, which I think is ridiculous, right? Like, you know, I probably would have taken Zach LaVine off and put on Trae Young there. Because I feel like scoring-wise, Zach LaVine might be probably better just with, like, you know, with his athleticism and, you know, percentages as well. I think, you know, Zach LaVine, you know, shot better than Trae. But Trae is such a much more dynamic passer than Zach LaVine. So I think that's where he, I think, has a clear advantage there. And I would pick Trae over Zach LaVine. I'm a big proponent of, if you're going to say someone should make the All-Star team, you got to say who they're going to replace, because that's how it works.
Yeah.
Right. And I get it. Like, and you, the hair thing, like he looks like he's balding, right? But he's like 21 years old. What's up with that, man? Yeah.
So it's just it's very wispy. Like it's very strange. Like,
I think he would look weird bald though. So he has to keep that hair.
Yeah. So he's my number two.
Okay. Clearly, I disagree. Well, I disagree with your subjective opinion that you don't like him. How could you not like him? How dare you?
But yeah, I mean, look, he's been balling, man. Like, I'll give you that. Like, looks like the Hawks are gonna wrap up the series, and
I hope so. Like, yeah, they should. I mean, hey, if they had just played Trae Young a little bit more in Game Two, I think they probably would have swept the Knicks. All right. Well, I guess we're coming down to the wire here, and my number one.
What's your number one, Jeff?
It's Carmelo. Anthony. It's Carmelo Anthony. Uh-huh.
I mean, I can understand Carmelo that. Anthony. I really can understand that. Yeah. I think he's a very controversial player in all respects. Actually, he's one that I should put on my list based on my criteria. You know, of like the unsportsmanlike conduct. He's a ball hog. I mean, before he kind of had his like renaissance, I guess, with the Blazers, like he's a ball. I mean, he was a ball hog. Like a lot of like, I mean, still yeah, he still kind of is yeah. like just like really egotistical. Also, like super inflated sense of himself. Like, yeah, I can understand it. Melo's a pretty hated player. I think like maybe five, six years ago, definitely. I think like he was one of the most hated players in the league. But yeah, sorry. Continue. What's your rationale behind this?
Again, it's kind of like this perfect marriage of off the court kind of like personality and on the court personality, but also the game. Like I am a big believer in the analytics movement of the NBA where I want to see you do layups and threes. And I want to see that. And I want to see, you know, crisp, efficient like passing. And I want to be able to like play the pick and roll and like make all the right decisions. And like Melo, as you said, it's not that. Like,
I mean, he's a player from another era really basketball, you know, like he's really just not built for the current NBA, I guess. But I've liked him in Portland. I think he's actually rounded out a lot of their off. Like Portland's like, I think a really like solid team. I don't know. And I think that Melo has kind of rounded out, like who did he replace? There's Aminu, right? Cause Aminu was at the four before, right?
Yeah, I would say whoever like you know forward that can't shoot was the backup for the Portland. Yeah, I think so. I think he's helped, right? That kind of like isolation basketball, which is what he's good at, it can get you like a 40%. It can get you like a decent mm-hmm. shot, right? And it can give you like an offense to kind of like rely upon. I don't know. I'm not a particular like fan of that kind of game where there's no movement. I want to see like more movement. I don't want to just see someone kind of like ISOing, you know, on the block and like, you know, taking like 20 jab steps and then just rising up for an isolate, like, you know, of a jump shot in isolation. That's, you know, not a very good shot usually. And well, I guess it probably would be if Dame and CJ were on the floor, but yeah,
He never really has. Like, yeah, I mean, he really is a selfish player. Yeah. You know, like when he was on the Knicks, like he would just like do his little dance thing all the time and kind of, you know, jog back on D. Like, yeah, he's never really been, I think, a very like good team player. That's for sure.
Yeah, I also think he's been, you know, he's in the same draft class as these guys, like LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. They're all in the same. I think he's always been kind of mentioned up with them just because, like, Banana Boat, right? Like, they're all like friends. Right. Yeah. Well, Chris Bosh is, I can't remember if he's on the Banana Boat or not. I don't think he was, but right, they've always been like mentioned like together. And I think LeBron and Carmelo are like close friends. They're very, very close friends. And they've known each other for a long time. But he's just not on the same tier as those players. Like, I don't even think he's better than Chris Bosh, probably. I mean, if Chris Bosh, you know, didn't have his, like, heart condition, then I think he probably, you know, Chris Bosh probably ends up having been, like, a more effective player than he was kind of because of his ability to stretch the floor, play to five, like, you know, be this really great kind of, like, mobile defensive center. And yeah, even though he didn't score as well as Melo did. So, yeah, I think... there's part of it is that I think, you know, he shouldn't be mentioned the same sentence as like LeBron.
I mean, do people mention him like that? I mean, I'll say this, like, yeah. I think that in terms of, I read somewhere that like, he's one of the hardest people to guard. Like a lot of players just feel like he's like really hard to guard. And it's true, like, you know, but he's not like, as you said, like his style of play isn't great, right? Like it's not very efficient. It's not sort of, he doesn't play within sort of a team offense. He just kind of does his thing. And so, yeah. No, I think that's a really justifiable number one pick for the most mm-hmm. hated.
I would also have to say again, he is probably the, you know, there's a lot of rumors that he did not appreciate Jeremy Lin's success in New York. And he was not.
So the truth comes out now.
I can't forgive Melo for that.
Yeah.
He should have given the keys to New York to Jeremy Lin where they belong, but you know he just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think like after he got let go by Houston, like I think that it kind of like really forced him to kind of look at himself and be like, okay, like I have to actually start being a bit more of a team player if I really want to continue playing. I think it was like it was a good sort of wake up call for him because he was just like, you know, in New York, like he was just kind of whatever, and in Houston, like he wasn't that great either, right?
No, he wasn't. Yeah, I think when he was in Oklahoma City, that's when he really, really, really fell
off.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Let's give me your number one.
Okay. Now, okay. Before we do my number one, I'm gonna give you an honorable mention. All right.
Okay.
This one again, like it's only because I'm from Toronto, but it's LeBron James.
As an honorable mention or as your number one? Okay.
I like LeBron James as a player. I don't think, like, I think it's undeniable that he is the greatest player of our generation. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's just amazingly skilled, great sportsman, great conduct off the court as well. Like, you never hear any stories about him. Like, he really embodies the ideal NBA player. You know, it's like Plato talks about, like, we should be ruled by philosopher kings. Like, LeBron is like the basketball equivalent of that, you know. Like, I don't think there's any other player that's better to represent the league than him. But I mean, you know, he's like literally just the enemy of Toronto, man. Like, just like, you know, he killed our Eastern Conference Finals ambitions for years on end, just tormented us, like, and yeah, like I respect him. And again, it's like this begrudging, like, you know, I don't like him because he's so good and because he did that to us, but I just have to say it. And yeah, so that's my honorable mention. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but.
I think that's fair, right? It was, you know, basically when he was back in Cleveland up until he left, LeBron just, you know, shellacked the Raptors every time they played. And, you know, was also very disrespectful about it.
Yeah, so can't forgive him. But, okay, number one, this one you're probably not going to like too, like Trae Young. I saved the ones that aggravate you for last. But
you're going to Jerry Lynn.
Yeah,
he's not in the league anymore, man.
Here, Jeff.
Oh, no.
Okay, my number one is Chris Paul. I don't like Chris Paul. Yeah. I think he's a dirty, dirty player. Again, this is kind of like he is a great point guard, you know, but I think, like, you know, all that stuff that happened, was it last year or 2 years ago where he, like, was fighting Brandon Ingram and he, like, spit in Rondo's face, like, all that stuff. Like, he's just like a dirty player. I think he's, like, really fake. I mean, he's good, but, like, you know, I don't know. Like, I just don't like him. And again, it is this sort of like, I don't like him because he's good, but Chris Paul, he's my number one.
No, I understand that, right? It's some things like you kind of put that criteria of, would you want to fight this guy over for like a barbecue? I would not want to invite him to a party either, because, you know, it just seems like, I don't, for him, he's probably that kind of guy who's like, who's right, you know, but who's always right, but approaches it in the way that is super annoying, and you don't want, right? You know, like, I think it was last year, he either got a foul called on someone because they didn't have their shirt tucked in.
Yeah,
their jersey tucked in.
Terrible conduct. Like, why? Yeah. Like, what?
You know, I have to respect it in the sense that he's going to do what it takes to win. And he's
a fierce
really
going to
try to win.
Right? Like, he really is a fierce competitor.
Yeah.
I also think that his State Farm commercials are trash.
Oh, really? Yeah, you've gone too far. I love those State Farm commercials.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, I can't deny he does make teams better. Like, he's great passer. Definitely, like, dangerous in the mid-range. Good shooter. You know, but I don't know. Don't want to invite him.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think the reason why, like, I just could, you know, put him on there, just, he's just too good, even now.
I mean, that's the other thing, too. Like, it's crazy how long he's been in the league and just, like, how he's still just, like, I'd put him in the top five point guards in the league.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Like, this year and even last year, I think he's been one of the top five, like, point guards in the league again, which is, you know, he's also another guy who's barely 6 feet. I see you're really gunning for the short guys at the top.
Yeah, but yeah, you can. There's sort of like a profile here. It's like the short players that tend to jaw at, like, the refs a lot and jaw at, like, the other players and just play really dirty. Like, those are the players I really don't like.
But they have to play that way, Matt, because everyone else is like a full subway taller than them.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like in my mind, I just see, like, these little, like, yappy, like, chihuahua dogs, you know? And I'm just like, oh, God, I hate mm-hmm. I hate that profile.
But, like, Matt, like, whenever you played, I don't know how much, like, ball you play, but that would be you, though.
And that's probably why I hate them, you know? Like it's like this weird sort of, like, I guess I'm that type of person or that type of profile, and... And there's can only be one of us.
Has this turned into, like, your own therapy session? I didn't know this would be top five players. I hate it's like
it's,
you know, it's like a window
myself.
Into your soul.
It's like, this is why I have low self esteem.
Yeah, I mean, no,
well,
it's been,
you know,
helpful.
I appreciate
for me too.
You actually had a more sort of like objective analysis than the way that you went about this question.
Yeah.
But
No, I mean, for me, I think it's more like, okay, like top things were, have they slighted Jeremy Lin in some way? Yes. That moves you up. Now, Patrick Beverley should probably be higher then. And then second is like, do I enjoy watching you play? And then, you know, and then third is like, are you a good person or something?
So it's like a distant third in your criteria.
Yeah. Sportsmanship, things like that. Yeah. Cause you know, if I had to, yeah. You know, again, if like the, are you like annoying person in real life, then like people like Michael Porter Jr. and Kyle Kuzma.
Kuzma, man, he should have, I don't know, he might be an honorable mention to me. Like he's totally overrated as a player.
I think he's probably gone up from, okay, maybe he's so overrated, but I think at least in the things that I follow, he's gone from like overrated now to kind of like properly rated. Cause I think he's really shown like a more willingness to defend and play within his role this year. Yeah. So he's really understood, like, you know, with LeBron, he's kind of like, oh, I catch the ball and I shoot it. And if there's, you know, if I'm the best offensive player on the floor, which can happen at times, then I have to create something. And, you know, I'll just try to defend as well. I don't think he's, you know, filled that role admirably this season.
All right. Well, Jeff, that is our top five hated players. I guess there was some overlap there. Although we went about it in very different ways, like we still, I guess, could agree on one player. Yeah.
Thank you for suggesting this topic, first of all. And yeah, I think it was fun. And I guess like Patrick Beverley really is just no one likes that.
We'll have to do the top
like,
five.
Unless you're willing, like, yeah.
Our top five favorite players sometime, potentially next.
Yeah, we should do it. Like, you know, I've divided it up into the teams that I most enjoyed Jeremy Lin on. So,
So thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time on Shut Up and Dribble.